Our Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
Our New Testament lesson today is from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." And the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, welcome to Sunday number 3 in our time apart. It still feels so weird to me, almost unreal. I'm starting to lose track of what day it is. Is that happening to you? Wake up in the morning and all day I think it's Thursday until I look at my phone and it says Wednesday. It's crazy. We just don't have enough markers, enough signposts to keep us from getting confused anymore. Everybody's homeschooling, parents trying to do what the teachers have done up till now, and there have been a lot of jokes about that. One woman posted that both of her children had been expelled from school for fighting, and their teacher had been fired for drinking on the job. One guy said he saw a parent in his neighborhood outside the driveway scraping off the bumper sticker on their car that said, "My child is a terrific student." I bought gas yesterday for $1.79. And you can get a round-trip airplane ticket to St. Thomas for $200. So both gas and airfare are the lowest they've been in our lifetimes, but we can't drive anywhere or fly anywhere. It's maddening. Okay, before I get any further, I need to own up to something. You know, last week, we looked at the 23rd Psalm. And by the way, if you miss a worship service live, you can always go to the website, trinitypreslbg.com. And click on the worship tab, and there you'll see a link for the sermon archives. It's not the whole worship service, just scripture lesson and the sermon and you can listen to any of them there if you miss them on a Sunday. Or you can email the link to a friend if you think it could help them. But anyway, last week we looked at the 23rd Psalm, and I went verse by verse through it. And the reason I could do that is because it's only 6 verses long. The scripture today is 44 verses. And I know you don't want me to take it verse by verse. We'll be here for a couple of hours. So instead, I'll try to point up some of the big messages here. But before I do that, I have to say that this 11th chapter of John has two of my favorite all-time Bible verses in it. Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible, which we learned as children. And it has my all-time favorite verse in the King James Version of the Bible. It is where Jesus asked for the stone to be rolled away from the tomb, even though Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And Martha says in the King James Version, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." What a great verse. "Surely he stinketh." Okay, enough of that. Let's get to it. There is a really serious side to this, and that is what social distancing is doing to all of us everywhere. There are a lot of people who live alone and just don't have family around nearby to shelter with. Their children can visit, but they don't dare come inside. And anybody that does come over has got to stay 6 feet away. Are you contagious? Am I? If we cough in public, will people look at us with suspicion? And hugs for people we love? Forget it. I'm a hugger, maybe to a fault. And it's sad to me to just wave goodbye to friends or my mom as I keep my distance. How long is this going to go on? There's so many worries right now. We all have people that we know absolutely cannot be allowed to get this virus. Our mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, who are supposed to be the most vulnerable. People we know that have already diminishing lung function from COPD or smoking. Folks we know that are in chemotherapy or have other immune system suppressions, it's really a disaster for them. And we worry, right? They absolutely cannot be allowed to get it. And most seriously, we think of what's happening to businesses. Any enterprise that was built around people getting together is closed now. That means all sporting events, and it affects not just the players, but the ushers, attendants, building staff, cleaners, food service workers. In basketball, March Madness in the NBA, baseball, hockey, NASCAR, people who work in music or theater. Players got to play for somebody, but that's all closed down. Universities, colleges, private schools, all students staying home. Anybody in travel and leisure, resort staff, like at Pinehurst or Pine Needles, anybody who works in the airlines, cruise lines. If you have a vacation rental house, all your bookings are canceling. And bars and restaurants, all they're allowed to do is takeout, and that doesn't pay the bills. Person-to-person businesses like hair salons, therapeutic massage, manicures, pedicures, barbers, gyms, personal trainers, even dentists for non-emergencies. And even in enterprises where there isn't so much contact with people or groups, if demand disappears for products, no revenue is coming in. And that includes some construction trades, framers, brick masons, and even farmers. And what this means is, in the last few weeks, bam, revenue has gone to zero. And if nobody is allowed to move or resume normal life, the money people usually spend for all these things dries up, and companies, resorts, airlines, and schools can no longer pay their employees, so they lose their jobs. I realize as I talk on radio today that a lot of y'all are out there listening, maybe struggling with exactly these problems, and it's a burden, and it looks really dark right now. So I think the place we need to start today is in the Ezekiel passage, in the Valley of the Dry Bones. The Lord God calls Ezekiel out to this desolate valley, and all over the place there's rocks and the land is scattered with bones, old, bleached, fossilized, dry bones. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" It's a simple question. And Ezekiel's smart. He knows that it's the Lord God who's asking the question and that it might be a trick question. So he says, "Oh Lord, you know," which I think is a pretty good answer. So the Lord says to him, "Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord." And I think, brothers and sisters, that the word of the Lord to Ezekiel is the same word that is coming to us today. And this situation with the COVID-19 virus that is bearing down on us. As you look at what's happened in your life, the money you've lost, the job you lost, the nest egg you lost, as you look at these decimated dry bones, can these bones live? You know, I think we are all wondering, if only somebody in that market in China hadn't cut up that particular diseased bat, if only the virus wasn't so contagious, if only people felt terrible the moment they got infected instead of feeling fine and spreading the virus around, thinking they didn't have it. If only it had been confined to China. If only we could watch baseball like we ought to. If only we had March Madness to pass the time. If only our high school seniors could graduate like normal. If only. If only. Well, I think that is our connection to the story in the Gospel of John today, because that's exactly what both Mary and Martha said to Jesus right after their brother Lazarus died. If only you were here when he was sick, you could have healed him. If only you had come immediately when we sent you the message, he wouldn't have died. Which is really saying, if only you had been a good friend like we thought you were, things would be fine now. There was a real disconnect between the timetable the two sisters had for Jesus and the one that Jesus used. He waited 2 days after he received their message that Lazarus was sick. If only he hadn't done that. If only he had come when they said come. Lazarus would be alive right now. But as it was, he was dead and they were crazy with grief. So what was Jesus thinking? We say if only to God a lot, don't we? And I suspect throughout this pandemic, we will say it some more. There's our will and God's will, our timing and God's timing. What is God thinking? We wonder, is this the new normal? Is this what we have to look forward to in the age of COVID-19? Can we ever get back to the life we once knew and took for granted? If only we could get there. Well, I believe that the answer to that question lies in this passage. Jesus is really good friends with the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The two sisters adore him, and the brother, Lazarus, is one of Jesus' best friends. And you know, I don't really think Jesus had a lot of good friends. So these people are special. Lazarus gets really sick, and his sisters are sure that their friend, Jesus, can heal him. And they have sent Jesus an urgent message. Lazarus, your best friend, the one you love, is deathly ill. Come right now or he will die. Hurry. But Jesus doesn't come right now. He doesn't hurry. He waits. He delays. And when the disciples ask him what's up, he says this, verse 4. "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived in Bethany, which is a suburb of Jerusalem, just a few miles outside of town, kind of like Matthew's is for Charlotte. So essentially, going to Bethany is going to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is where people are determined to find a way to get rid of Jesus. As the disciples say, "Rabbi, these people were just trying to stone you and you're going there again?" But Jesus has decided to go. And that's why Thomas says, "Let's go and die with him." They are headed towards the same Jewish establishment that they have been trying to avoid. Now, these two women, Mary and Martha, are realists. And when Jesus doesn't arrive on schedule and Lazarus dies, they don't have any hope that their brother can live again. He has been dead 4 days. He is starting to smell. The Jews in that day didn't embalm people the way that the Egyptians did. When someone died, they buried him the same day. They anointed them with spices and put them in a tomb immediately. Then they grieved for a month. We do it the opposite now. We have the viewing and the grieving and the receiving of friends before the funeral. We can keep the body in pretty good shape for a number of days. Not so back then. It was hot, and decomposition began immediately after death. So these sisters knew that it was impossible now for their beloved brother Lazarus to live. Jesus could have healed him, yes, when he was alive. But no one had ever been raised from the dead that they knew of, especially after they had been in the grave for 4 days, after they had started rotting and decomposing. Again, I think of the question that God put to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Not will they, can they? God isn't asking a hypothetical question about the future. Do you think, Ezekiel, that in the future this will happen or not happen? God is asking Ezekiel a question about possibility, about what he thinks God can do, God's ability. Can these dry bones live? Is it possible that these bones that have been completely dried out so they resemble a rock more than a living thing, can these bones live? And second, God isn't asking about somebody else's bones in some other place. Right before you, right here in your life, this dead-looking, lifeless thing, can these bones live? Not somebody else's bones, but the bones that you see around you here, these bones. So when Jesus says to Martha, your brother will live, he's seeing what she believes. Do you believe, Martha, that this guy Lazarus, your brother, can live? Can these bones, your bones, the bones of the one you love so much, can these bones live? And Martha, the good religious girl, has learned her catechism, answers with doctrine. She says, I know that he will rise into the resurrection on the last day. Another way she could say it is, I know that some bones sometime in the future will live. Yes, in the general resurrection. Yes, then, later. But Jesus wants her to believe that these bones will live, the bones of her beloved sibling, these here bones of Lazarus. Jesus wants her to believe that this dearest wish of hers will actually happen, that her brother Lazarus, that she grew up with, that she played with and fought with and ate with and laughed with, that guy, do you believe that he can live again today? That these bones can live? And she can't say it. All she thought was that Jesus would heal him if Jesus got there before he died. Now that he is a rotting corpse, she doesn't have an answer. But Jesus does. He answers the question for her. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Can these bones, these beloved, precious bones of our brother live? Yes. Why? Not because there is a resurrection someday, later, if things work out right. No, these bones of our boy Lazarus can live today because I am the resurrection, I am the life, and I am here with you right now. But then comes the most amazing part of all. Jesus begins to move through the crowd with great emotion. Verse 33, when Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come see. And Jesus began to weep. It's so important that you see this. Jesus is deeply troubled because his friends are deeply troubled. He is sad because they are sad and crying. And he begins to cry with all the mourners, even though he knows what he's about to do. He knows he's about to bring Lazarus back from the dead. He is still troubled. He feels what his friends are feeling, suffers because they are suffering, and then cries with them because they are crying. That is amazing to me. He could have said, hey, y'all, if Jesus was a Southerner, don't cry. It's going to be fine. I'm going to bring him back. Come on, don't be like that. Oh, it's okay. No, he didn't try to talk them out of their grief. Instead, he felt the grief with them, was troubled with them, cried with them, and suffered with them. That is astonishing. Then Jesus commands them to roll away the stone, and in a loud voice he says, "Lazarus, come out." The great preacher Anthony Campolo said about this passage that if Jesus hadn't called Lazarus by name right then, the whole graveyard would have walked out. That's how potent his power is. But he calls his friend by name, and what do you think happened? Can these bones live? Well, the previously rotting corpse of a dead man somehow gained the strength to walk out of that tomb with the grave clothes still hanging off him. And by the way, I don't want you to think that he was some kind of zombie, walking dead, half person. In the next chapter, we see Lazarus perfectly normal, having dinner with Jesus and his half-sisters. But when he walks out of that tomb, Jesus smiles at him and nods at the people nearest him and says, "Loose him and let him go." Wow. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Early on in the story, when the disciples ask him about what was going on with Lazarus, Jesus had said, "This sickness is not unto death, but rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And the same is true for us today. As bad as the situation is, this is not a sickness unto death. Jesus is here with us. And just like that day with Mary and Martha, he is feeling what we're feeling: our worry, our fear, our pain. If you're crying, he is crying. If you are troubled in spirit, he is too. As much as we are suffering, we have a Savior who suffers with us, who has felt what we are feeling and feels it now because we are feeling it, our pain and loneliness and anguish and loss. Our God is a suffering God. God suffers with us as Jesus did with his friends that day, feels our fears about getting sick, our loved ones getting sick, our businesses stalling, our incomes plummeting, our savings draining away, feels our frustration with not being able to hug anybody. God is with us, Emmanuel, suffering with us. What we see in this passage is Jesus knowing that in a few minutes his friend is going to come alive again. And even so, Jesus is deeply troubled by the sadness, anguish, and suffering of his friends, and he begins to weep. And I believe he weeps with us today. I read a poem this week that goes like this. He cried. He knew Lazarus was dead before he got the news, but still he cried. He knew Lazarus would be alive again in moments, but still he cried. He knew death here is not forever. He knew eternity and the kingdom better than anyone else could, yet he wept. Because this world is full of pain and regret and loss and depression and devastation, he wept because knowing the end of the story doesn't mean you can't cry at the sad parts. So there's grace here, but there also is a challenge. The grace is that Jesus is with us, feeling our pain, our loneliness, our fear, just as he felt that day with Lazarus's family. He is troubled because we are troubled. He is sad because we are sad. He has suffered for us, and he is suffering with us. And it is his power to breathe life into dead things, dry bones, rotting corpses, that is going to keep this current trouble in us from becoming a sickness unto death. He is the resurrection of the life, and anyone who lives and believes in him will never die. That's the grace. And here's the challenge. We have to keep ourselves from thinking that everything is just a secular problem, that is just epidemiology or just government or just supply and demand. We have to practice the presence of Jesus in our lives. I don't mind saying this every week because I think we need to hear it. Just like when I was in college at a Bible study and the leaders told us to practice the presence of Christ, he said, "Imagine when you're in the back seat with your girlfriend that Jesus is sitting right there between you. And I tell you, that was a buzzkill if there ever was one. But it's true. We need to practice the presence of Christ. We need to make ourselves acknowledge that Jesus is with us every day, all day, right here with us in this coronavirus pandemic and all it brings. If the virus keeps you from working, okay, Jesus is with you in that. If it keeps us from visiting our loved one, Jesus is with us and with them. If it keeps us from going to church on Sunday, Jesus is still with us in our worship, whether it is on Facebook, Zoom, or on Hometown Radio WLNC. I want to close by sharing this with you. Last Sunday, you know, I preached on the 23rd Psalm, and the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. And around 7 p.m. that evening, my daughter Mindy gave birth to a little boy, John Luca Mejia, in Moore County Hospital. Mindy and her husband Fernando and baby Luca are all doing fine. There were plenty of beds in the hospital and no patients there with the virus, and they were able to go home by Tuesday. I got to hold him for the first time on Friday, and he's so precious and so little. And he makes noises like a puppy and smells funny. But I was thinking, what a life that little guy is going to have. He's born into this pandemic that we're also focused on. But by the time he is in school, it's all going to be in the history books. And who knows, he may live 80, 90 years, and this present unpleasantness will be ancient history to him. Right now, he just wants to eat and sleep and poop. That's all he wants to do. And it gave me some perspective. We will get through this. COVID-19 is not the thing that is going to define us. Little Luca isn't worried at all. He totally trusts that his mom and dad are going to provide for everything in his world. He has everything he needs. And we should trust like that too. Our heavenly parent is right here with us, right now in this, feeling what we feel. Emmanuel, God with us, he will provide everything we need. And he can make everything come alive again, even these dry bones. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, please make us aware that you're with us in everything that we're doing these days. Let us have the awareness of your presence, that you are feeling what we're feeling when we're happy and feeling what we're feeling when we're afraid and sad and frustrated, that you suffer with us. We pray that you would keep everyone that is listening to this safe and protect us, especially the vulnerable, from this virus. And help us this to be a time not where we lose our faith or become slack in our faith, but a time where we actually deepen our faith and our walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.